Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Balak. Now this week, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts. I'll begin with something which I think is a new idea. You may not believe me on this, and I can't prove it to you, but I will make the following suggestion. Ready? How many people do we have in Tanakh, or do we have in Torah Bechlau, named Bilam? I assume your answer would be one, and that would seem to be the logical answer, that there's only one Bilam. Seems to me, in fact, that there are two Bilams, not actually two Bilams mentioned in Tanakh, but two Bilams mentioned in Chazal, and I'll explain. There's a Gemara in Saita, Daf Yudah Aleph, which is well known. It says that when Pari began to oppress Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Shloisha Hayuba Isayetza, there were three people whom Pare consulted to seek counsel. And he asked them, is it a good idea to oppress Klal Yisrael? And they were Bilam, Yisrei, and Iyaz. Yisrei, who protested, was Eichet to have Moshe Rabbeinu as his son-in-law. Iyaz, who was silent, suffered the pains of Iyaz. And Bilam, who said, do it, in the language of the Gemara, Bilam, Sheyat, Neherag. Bilam, who gave the Seitza, was killed. Was this Bilam the same Bilam as the Bilam in this week's parasha? I believe that most people would say, yes, of course it's the same Bilam. That's the way we've always understood. I have three difficulties with understanding that it's the same Bilam. The obvious difficulty is that Bilam was not a Mitzri. What's he doing in Mitzrayim? All right, but that difficulty we can do away with. After all, Yisrael was also not a Mitzri. A more serious question is that the punishment to Bilam is Bilam Sheyo'atz Neharag. Bilam, who gave an Eitzah, was killed. Great punishment, he was killed. When was he killed? The killing of Bilam at the hands of Pinchas in Parshas Matos takes place 126 years after Parai conferred with his advisors as to whether to oppress Klal Yisrael. And that's because Pari oppressed Klal Yisrael for 86 years before they left Mitzrayim. And there were 40 years, or almost 40 years, until the story of Balak and Bilam. So that's 125 or 126 years later that this week's parasha takes place. That does not seem to be a proper punishment for Russia. Bilam Sheyatz Neharag, 126 years later. How old was he at the time he gave an Eitzah? It would seem his total age was about 150. That's a long life. More seriously, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Farish, the Gemara says, Ben Lamed Gimel Shana Hoya Kat Kotel Yasei Pinchas, that the Bilam that was killed by Pinchas in Parshas Manasseh was 33 years old. 33 years old. He was born after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It seems to be proof positive that the Bilam in Saita Daf Yud Aleph Shloisha Hayu Ba'Yseyetza could not be the same Bilam as in this week's parasha. Surprise! If anyone can answer these rayas, particularly the last raya, I'd love to hear it. While I'm telling you things that I'm not to believe, let me give you somebody else. Someone else with an unusual name, and it seems to me there were two of them. And I am referring now to Onkelus Hager. Onkelus is not a common name. Certainly not a common name among Jews. We have two stories about Onkelus. And although our Rebbeim and Yeshiva taught them as referring to the same individual, it seems to me there were two people named Onkelus that were Gerim. One, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, tells us about Onkelus Bar Klunimus, who was Megayer. The Caesar sent soldiers to seize him. And as the Gemara relates, Onkelus kissed the mezuzah. The soldiers asked about the mezuzah. And as a result of their inquiry and his response, they too are Megayer. An incredible story about Onkelus. That story took place, as the Gemara relates it, during the lifetime of Rav Gamliel HaZaken. There's another Gemara, also well known, in Gittin Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Ben Bar Achsei de Titus, Boy Ligiura. The Gemara tells us there was another person named Onkelus. a nephew of Titus, and he wanted to be Megayer, and the Gemara relates his story. Now hold on a second. That Uncleus was a generation later than Titus. Titus, as you know, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. But really, Arzakim lived a couple of generations before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. It would seem that there were two people named Uncleus. I know people won't believe this, but that's the way it seems to be. Another unusual name, with two people, same name. Ready for this one? Amasloi. Who was Amasloi, you'll ask me? Well, when I was in Pirchei, they would ask a riddle. What was the name of the father, of, rather the mother, of Avraham Avinu? And a few of us lucky to know the answer would get a free soda. Or perhaps in those days it was a free ISIS squeeze pop. The Gemara of Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Aleph, says that Avraham Avinu's mother was Amasloi Bas Karnava. That's a Gemara, you can't argue with that. Guess what? Haman Arasha also had a mother. Her name was Amasloi. Now, you may disagree with my first two offerings, as the two Bilams and two Uncleuses. But two Amasloi's, it says so in the Gemara, Bava Basra Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. Amasloi Bas Karnava was the mother of Avraham Avinu. Amasloi Bas Urvisi was the mother of Haman. V'simonech Tar Tar Tomei Tomei Yikra. Gemara gives a simon that Avraham Avinu's mother was Amasloi, the daughter of Karnavai. Karnavai sounds like Korim Mitzayin, sounds like a name given to sheep, a kosher min. Haman's mother was Amasloi Bas Urvisu. Orev is the name of a, an Irev rather, is the name of an of a raven, not kosher bird. Tomei Tomei Yikra, Haman's mother was Amasloi Bas Urvisu. So here I have for you three offerings of people with double names. As I said, the third you can't disagree with, but the first two you could, but you would have to answer my question. Now, this all came to mind because this summer I was driving in Eretz Yisrael. Actually, a friend of mine was driving me, and he passed Rechov Alifaz, and he mentioned to me, isn't it strange that they would name a city in Eretz Yisrael after Alifaz, the son of Esav HaRasha, the father of Amalek? Wow. And I said to him, no, there are two Alifaz. Were there two people named Alifaz? It appears so. We know Alifaz was the, as I said, the father of Amalek, son of Esav. Alifaz was also one of the seven Nevi'ei Umas HaElam. There were seven people who said Nevuah that were not Jewish. Three of them were the friends of Eiv, actually four of them in total, friends of Eiv, mentioned in Sefer Eiv, and Alifaz is most prominent among them. And so it appears it was Alifaz the Navi, who is a great man. The street is presumably named after him. And Alifaz, the father of Amalek. Given today's political climate, they may soon pass a law that the Alifaz must be the Alifaz, the father of Amalek. Now on this one, I would like to tell you that there is some disagreement among the Rishonim as to whether Alifaz, father of Amalek, son of Esav, was in fact a Rasha, or perhaps the same Alifaz as in Sefer Eiv. If anybody has any more double names to offer me, I'd be happy to take you up on it. Love to hear about it. I will tell you a name of a city, or call it a country. Seems there are two places with the name Tsarfas. Tsarfas is France. We have at the end of the book of Evadia, where it says the Golis will reach at Tsarfas. And Rashi says, that's France. France is called Tsarfas, I believe, in modern Hebrew as well. However, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Tes, Eliyahu Navi is told, Kum Lech Tsarfasa. Did he go to France, Eliyahu Navi? Well, it says, Kum Lech Tsarfasa, Asher Litzidain, V'yeshev Esham. Apparently part of Eretz Yisrael, there's a place called Tsarfas. Wow, that's interesting. Two places named Tsarfas. So, I have a bundle of twos for you, I guess five twos, and I'd love you to answer for it. If I get an hour's worth, maybe someday we can make another share out of it. Let's move on to a more traditional part on the parasha. We have in this week's parasha, Balak and Bilam bringing karbanis. Can a goy offer a carbon? The answer is yes. Goyim are permitted to offer karbanos, carbon ayla, and it does have the din of a carbon. The Ramah in Hilchas Tzedakah says that we are allowed to be mekabel money for a Beis HaKnesses from a non-Jew. Now, this is mentioned in Yeridei Reish Nundalet Sifteis, and also in Aruch Chaim Kuf Nundalet Sifyur Aleph, that we can take from Goyim tzedakah for a shul, for a Beis HaKnesses, or for the oil and lights of a Beis HaKnesses, because Goyim offered karbanis, and a shul has deemed him similar to a mikdash ma'at. However, says the Ramah, not a Yehudi mishumet, a Jew who doesn't believe in the Rabbi Nishalayim, and the Magen Avraham says, who atin machal Shabbos, is not eligible to donate to a Beis HaKnesses. They're not eligible to give oil for the or lights of the Beis HaKnesses. And thus we have an unusual halacha. Real, where you have something that a goy is allowed to do, not from your, is prohibited from doing, and that is donating to a Beis HaKnesses. Now what's interesting is that there is a machlokes, as it appears from the Magen Avraham there, in Siman Rei Kuf Nun Dalet. And according to the explanation of the Matzah Hashekel, the Magen Avraham is saying that there is a dispute if the prohibition against taking money from non-from Jews to Tzarchei Beis HaKnesses is limited to them bringing oil or svarim for the shul, which would be similar to a carbon, or even taking cash, taking money from them. And it's interesting that the Chubina Rav and David Mishar and Chelek Yimel Chuvat Tzadikeh says that this depends on the degree to which a shul today is a mikdash ma'at. If a shul today is called a small base amigdash, only b'loshin mashal b'litza, it's an expression of honor, we call it a mikdash. If that's the case, then it's enough to say, well, in the mikdash you can't bring a carbon, and the shul, let him not bring offerings of oil for the lighting of the shul, or let him not write svarim for the use of the shul. However, says the Chubina Rav, it's possible that the reference to a Beis HaKnesses as a mikdash ma'at has full meaning, full understanding. As a matter of fact, the Urayim, one of the Rishayim, writes that people who behave disrespectfully in a shul are over on the Issa Dairaisa of Yiras HaMikdash, and although the Chumash is talking about a Beis HaMedrash, about a Beis HaMikdash, it applies as well to a shul because a shul is a Mikdash Ma'at. We know that in the shul we refer to the various parts of the shul in expressions that are reminiscent of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the bima in the middle, a shulchan, because there was a shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. Most shuls have a menaira, because there was a menaira in the Beis HaMikdash. The place of Sefer Torah is kept, we call it an Aron, because there was an Aron in the Beis HaMikdash. The velvet hanging in front of the Aron, we call a Pareiches, because there was a Pareiches there. Traditionally, the Pareiches, or the Aron Kodesh itself, was decorated by Luchais, by an image of the Luchais that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. Today, in our world of increased sophistication regarding decorations, most shuls don't have the luchas there anymore. However, the luchas were there for a reason, because the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash held the luchas. And therefore, the luchas were used to decorate the Aron. A shul has an Er Tamid. It's called as an Azara or an Ezras Nashim. These are all references of similarity between the shul and the Beis HaMikdash. Says the David Mesharim, the question the Machlokes, the Magen Avraham is bringing as to whether one may accept even cash for use in a Beis HaKnesses. That Machlokes, rather to accept it from a non-from Yid, that Machlokes depends on how strongly we adhere to the similarity, the idea of Mikdash Ma'at. And so this week I've only gotten two ideas in my 15 minutes, but I think there's what to think about. Certainly I would appreciate if someone can show me that it's the same Bilam and answer my questions, I'd be very much obliged. If you can't, please contact all elementary school and high school rebbeim and inform them that they've been teaching it, it appears to be, incorrectly. With that, I wish everyone an absolutely wonderful Shabbos as the summer begins. I beg you once again, those of you who are in the city, to put in the extra time, chaparayin, extra siddurim, learning. If during the time your family is away, you use that extra time for learning. And when your family is here, and you have family obligations that take you away, then you have a din of an oinus. There was somebody who was had a machshava to learn the nenas, nice leischar ki iluasa. But even when they're not here, you're not learning. What does that say? Have a wonderful and meaningful summer. A good Shabbos to all.